How you doing, sir?
Sorry about the faff up.
Nah, all good. Apparently, I can't tell time in other countries. So.
Well, it just went slightly awry. Just checking that my camera picked up.
Yeah, no worries. How you doing?
Not bad. How's yourself?
I can't complain. You know, I'm trying to stay busy.
All set for SEMA.
Getting ready to go to SEMA. So yeah, actually we have a little promotion going on. I'll go ahead and start the episode with it. I don't know if you've heard yet. So we are, anybody's coming to SEMA and doesn't have anything to do Tuesday, November 5th, at 8 PM. You know, great place to have an AA meeting is SEMA, right? Like at the beer park. So Aquatech and Angel Wax, we're having a co-meeting. We're showing that, you know, we can all get along and support each other. So come out and hang with us. So, yeah, I don't even think we posted. Well, okay. So by the time this comes out, it'll be posted. But Mike was kind of finishing up the flyer to send to Tommy and Rain so that they could post it on your guys' stuff, and then we'll post it on our stuff and whatnot.
Okay.
So yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
They'll laugh if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're just arguing back and forth on who's gonna pay the bill. So I think last we settled on it was gonna be you. I think they said you were paying.
Me, I was gonna be Rain.
So John, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I wanted to have you on because one of our listeners, Walt Sanders, I'm going to totally give him a shout out for this, sent me a comment after one of the last like educational episodes that I've been doing lately with this stuff. And he wanted specifically asked for somebody from Angel Wax. So obviously who better than you? But he wanted for me to do this style of topic on wax, right? Like where it started, evolution of it, all that fun stuff. And I mean, obviously, the whole purpose of Angel Wax was because you started with wax. Yeah, exactly. So I've got I'm gonna cheat on this episode. I've got a ChatGPT assistance for asking you some questions. ChatGPT came up with some great questions, by the way. So I guess like one of the first things ChatGPT gave me was, and I think it's a great way to start, is the historical evolution. You know, how has automotive wax evolved from early formulations to what we see now in shops? Shameless plug, kind of like Red Delight. The greatest wax known to man, far superior than Little Wiki's Carney wax, far superior, holds up longer, has better shine, smells better. But yeah, how do we go from the Simonized yellow can to Red Delight?
Well, that's a really interesting question. My understanding of the history of it all is pretty vague because I came into it from a different side.
Right.
But as far as I understand, it was initially based on wood finishes, which were beeswax type jobs. And obviously, certainly in the UK and presumably in America as well, when vehicles started, they were basically coach built. There was a lot of wood involved. And that's where that started. As it's developed, it would have went from a straight beeswax, which is a wood wax, effectively.
Yeah.
They would have thrown in what was available. And what was available would have been turnover, because that's certainly easily accessible and had a history as well of being used for other things. So you blend the two of them, and I think you get Simonized. But, I mean, I could be entirely wrong.
Yeah.
In that part. My take on waxes for such as it is that there's a combination of the traditional and the modern being polymers that you can add, micronized ceramics you can add, nano ceramics you can add, you can also add reactive silicons and various other things. So you can take all the modern tech and combine it with the traditional tech, which is beeswax, carnauba. People use Montan and various other things. I use beeswax, carnauba, and a couple others that are very particular, but they are down to my background and not necessarily what you would find in the car care industry as such,
right,
which makes ours a wee bit different.
Okay.
And that's the bit.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because I think I talked to one of the guys at Simonize one time before, and their wax was, you know, for polishing wood, like furniture.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, when the first cars came out, they had, the paints and stuff that they were putting on wasn't as, you know, advanced as what we have now. So they found that beeswax type of wax would actually protect that, you know, that finish on the cars and everything.
Waxes are basically beeswax, and that's what it mainly started.
Right. So the other one that I had, I think you kind of just dabbled on it a little bit, is, you know, how has technology influenced the development and automotive wax, particularly in the terms of durability and ease of application? So I know you just mentioned, like, going from that beeswax to adding polymers, and you can add ceramics and stuff like that.
Yeah, I suppose a way to start would be to kind of explain the properties of the kind of waxes that you tend to use. And I've got, this isn't drugs, it's bagged up waxes. So this here, that's carnauba wax.
Okay.
Pharmaceutical grade. We always use pharma grade materials. So that's carnauba wax. Now, this is super durable. So you can imagine a line. This is durability.
Okay.
Durability 101. It's like concrete. You cast it. So you'd have that at one end of the line. Now, this is beeswax. Beeswax is super glossy, but has no durability. So it's at the far end of the line. And you've got, this is a particular wax that gives really good waterproofing and good beading. And again, good durability. So it's more up that side. And this one here is a particular wax that enables you to actually remove the wax once the carrier solvents evaporated. So it's a mechanical device as opposed to a gloss. So there's all sorts of things that you can throw in. But the idea is that if you're basically blending or softening up the carnauba. So if your carnauba is your base, you're putting in beeswax to soften it so you can work it.
Okay.
And the other ones are in there just to give you the properties you require. So our, for example, our highly durable wax has a high ratio of carnauba to beeswax. But the show wax, desirable, is the other way around. It's got much more beeswax and just enough carnauba to give you some durability.
Okay.
And it works. But you can sit with a wax that's in the middle, and we have 4 or 5 waxes in each wax. And then you can start being a bit technical and start throwing in different things. Nanoceramic being the case in point with the Enigma wax, which enables you to do things slightly differently. You can improve the durability. You can improve the water behavior. You can improve the gloss. Granted, it comes at a cost because these materials are very expensive. Nanoceramics are extremely expensive.
Right.
But you can do it that way. But you can do other things. So there's all different ways. You can have a base wax, and the tech that's out there with the polymers and the reactive systems that are there enable you to go in different routes that you wouldn't been able to do maybe 15 years ago. And it just it's a question of trying it and seeing what happens. You know what I mean? But as I say, my background is different, so I hit it from a different direction.
Right. So basically with all of those waxes that you're just kind of showing us, mm-hmm. it's just to making wax different or doing different things is just either adding more of or less of or not, whatever. And so that's where we can have all these different types of wax, because it's some may have more of this or more of that or less of this or less of that or not even have that in it or whatever.
Basically, yeah. When you make a wax for a matte vehicle, for example, you don't want any gloss at all, obviously.
Right.
You want the protection. So a matte car, and then invariably certainly our wax, won't have any beeswax because you do not want gloss. It'll have some carnauba, it'll have some of this, but it's a non-glossy wax. So you've got to do things and think about things slightly differently.
Okay. So when you're doing your waxes, or when you come up with your waxes, I mean, is it because somebody comes to you and says that they want it to do a certain thing, so then you mix the things together, or are you just trying to, hey, you know what, we can make a wax that does A, B, C, and D, let's throw that out there, and then we can work on, you know, where we fine tune it from there, or go from there if people want different things?
It's an element of both. I have contacts, obviously, with suppliers worldwide for just about everything. And somebody will send me a sample of material. I mean, I can't move the camera. Well, I can move it a wee bit. But I mean, I'll get bottles of material, samples of stuff everywhere, right? And people will send me stuff like that. That's an interesting one. That's a PTFE wax, which you can't use anymore. So people will send me samples and say, well, what do you think? Or I have this. And you go, okay, I'll try it. So you try it, see what happens. Also, though, you get a customer. We'll say, can you do? And we invariably think, oh, that's an idea. I never thought of that. So you try and see if you can do it. And that's development. Sometimes you develop because you have given material that might well be useful. You know, you get a reactive oil, for example. Case in point is the oil that you use in teak to protect it and proof it. It's a reactive system. So it oxidizes, oxidizes hard. So it's not such a big leap of faith to think, we'll try that in a wax. So you just do that, see how it goes. Turns out it wasn't brilliant, but you try it. And that's what you do. But you also spend time, speaking of our own waxes, our waxes don't dust, as you'll know. And the reason for that is they've been worked out that if you put the waxes in a carrier, that all the waxes in the job are happy in, but you also have waxes that you've picked that are comfortable with each other, then you don't get the dusting and the matting effect. And that happens in other waxes because one part of it's slightly incompatible with the rest. And that's why it mats and dusts. Lawyers don't do that. They go in clear and they stay clear, which is why you have to panel at a time, because you can't see where it is. So it's just a different way of thinking and different way of doing things. But somebody that was making waxes 100 years ago wouldn't take much teaching, training, or whatever. They'd look at the system and go, yeah, that's roughly what we did. You know, the bones of it are the same, but the additions and the add-ons and, you know, graphene, titanium, and things like that, ceramics, they're all very new. So they're different, but they do make a difference.
Okay. So is, I'm trying to think of, so like, is testing it kind of similar to like what, like how you would test a ceramic? I mean, obviously we always, you know, say like, in a lab, it's not real world, like whatever. But if you're making a wax and obviously you could throw it on a car and wait X amount of months to see how it works, but that doesn't really work. You need that lab testing.
Yeah, that's how we used to do it. Section off the bonnet of my car or my boot of my car and try it and just check and see what it does. But normally now, because we've been doing it for 15 years and we've got a fair handle on what does what, you would come up with something, check it. In reality, in the lab, all you can really do is check that the application's right. you know, I don't have the kit for accelerated aging and stuff like that. That's, you know,
yeah.
Level. But what I will then do is I'll take the wax and go, yeah, I like that. I'll run it into tubs and I'll send it to Australia, to US, Singapore. When I'll have it tested in dry areas, wet areas, hot and dry, hot and wet, and then I'll get the feedback. And at that point, we go, okay, it needs to be tweaked and we'll do it again. So we've got a worldwide network of people. So we use them. We don't operate in the basis of, there it is, it's perfect, away you go. It's
right.
You think. So we get, it takes us longer, but we tend to get better result out of it. And it's all about quality at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That one. So what role do synthetic materials play in today's wax formulations compared to the natural ingredients like carnauba?
Well, synthetic ones are very controlled. So we use some synthetic waxes. They're all the same. Every batch is the same as the previous batch. Whereas carnauba, bees, they're natural. They vary. Bees wax varies with hive to hive. Never mind batch to batch. So, right. And that's why you can get honey in various different colors, because it's all natural. So there's variation in a line, and you know, it's, you don't get stuff that's just off the wall. Synthetic stuff is very, very tightly controlled. Now I use the odd synthetic wax here and there, like Halo, which we use for kind of rubbers and engine bays and that kind of thing. Because they work better than the natural waxes do. So, but we also use them in some hybrids to get a particular level of performance or a particular property. You know, synthetic ones can allow you to use a bit more carnauba because they're more plasticizing than, say, beeswaxes. So you can up the carnauba content quite considerably, but still keep it workable. So there's a... It really all depends how you look at it and what you do. And no two chemists will look at this the same way.
Right.
We all have our own way of thinking. And that's the beauty of, from the customer's point of view, you know, you're not going to get the same thing. You get the same thought process, but the waxes will be slightly different. But that's how we look at it. We tend to be more natural with some synthetic there or thereabouts to give us particular properties in particular waxes, which is why we've got such a large range.
Okay.
You know, not one wax does everything kind of idea.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so here's a good one, because I think you slightly glossed over it a few minutes ago, is how has the environmental impact of automotive waxes changed over time?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
ChatGPT, it's not me. It's ChatGPT. So,
environmental-wise, a wax is quite good for the environment. Quite good. It all depends, obviously. But because you're dealing with a paste, a solid substance, there's minimal waste. A 200-gram jar can quite conceivably last you 5-6 years, which is obviously good for the environment, because you're not, there's no waste. You're not throwing stuff away.
Yeah.
That's why you have diamondized waxes that have been running, you know, sitting in a tin since the 50s and still works. But it's so from my point of view, it being solid and paste, it's quite good from there. The other side to that is obviously carnauba, natural product. You've got to grow it. So, and carnauba wax is in a lot of things. Confectionery, you know, baking, other protecting things, you know. You look at your M&Ms, they've usually come over and stop it from sticking together. So there was a lot of pressure. And obviously, if you're growing these, they're usually done in South America.
Right.
So you're having to potentially replace rainforest to grow that. So there's a whole different range. There are some synthetic carnaubas coming out. They're not as good, but they're coming. So that's okay. Probably going to be... have less of an impact. Beeswax, well, the wax is a byproduct, therefore you know, it's always been a byproduct. It's a byproduct of honey. So
I have
not bad.
Ooh, yeah. From startup shops to seasoned pros, we tailor high-octane websites that resonate with your customers and showcase your expertise. Yeah, Justin Lobato of JL Showroom Auto Salon says, "Detailer's roadmap supercharge my leads. Custom writing, incredible customer care, and a road to success paved with expertise." Detailer's roadmap knows how to supercharge your digital presence. It's your turn to rev up your business. Visit detailersroadmap.com. Leave the competition in the rear view mirror. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Have there been any ingredients that, you know, waxes use or have used that maybe because of the growing change in environment, you know, and how you can use things or whatever, you know, like now I know, like, what is it in California? They're changing a bunch of things. So now everybody who, you know, can't use alcohol or something like that. So everybody's changing up prep wipes and like all these other things. So has there been something like that with chemicals that maybe had been used in the past with waxes that now, because of environmental rules?
I would think that the only thing that might have changed would be the carrier solvent.
Okay.
And obviously, 7-8 years ago, people were a bit less concerned about what you were actually handling, leaded petrol being a case in point. So, you know, that has changed, I would think. But again, because we are in a PACE system, there's not a lot of exposure to the environment. You're not evaporating off vast quantities of solvent. So I would actually say, from an environmental point of view, PACE waxes are quite good. Very little waste. What you tend to use, you use.
Yeah.
Not a lot of solvent coming off it. I mean, you're only looking at 15, 20 mil to do a car. So, I mean, it's not bad. And if you're getting 6 months in a 200, you know, gram tub, that's 5 years worth.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, I mean, it's pretty decent.
How?
Good argument. It's a good discussion.
Yeah. How? So, how do you? How does? I mean, because like here in Florida, right? I mean, like, I don't think a wax here in Florida is gonna last weeks. It seems like, you know, just because it's so hot and everything like that. So how do people around the world look at it as, like, you know, can give any kind of longevity statement, you know? And like, I know with coatings, like, you know, if it's a 2-year coating, if it's a 4-year coating, if it's a 25-year coating, I mean, I know that still goes to, you know, like, as long as they're maintaining the car and everything, but that's a little more solid around the world because coatings are, you know,
but a
wax at the end of the day is still wax. And so when it heats up, you know, like I always tell people, like a candle, right? Like it liquefies, you know, on a molecular level, so to speak. Right. And, you know, when you blow that candle out at night, sure, it rehardens, but it's not a full candle anymore. Otherwise, you'd never have to buy a candle ever again. So, how can you even, like, you know, as a detailer that, you know, hey, I'm gonna buy some red delight. I'm gonna start waxing cars. But like, how do you tell a client if you're in a super hot climate? Like, hey, it's going to last X amount of time, or maybe somebody in a cooler climate, it can last even longer.
Well, normally we would state kind of approximate durability based on what people have found. Now, when we tested the waxes, say in Nevada, you know, Tommy's still got some Enigma that's running 12 to 18 months on the car. Well, granted, maintained with the detailer and the shampoo. And the likes of Tyler and Rashid in Florida, have had good results as well.
Okay.
Now, we tend to say, yeah, we'll do this based on what we know. You can make the wax a bit more durable by, you know, a bit more carnauba or adding non-ceramic, which helps the cross-linking, or titanium, which we use to help cross-linking. So there are ways and means. But yes, in Florida, if you put on desirable, you might get 4 weeks out of it. Whereas if you put it on a car, I don't know, I'm not that familiar with American geography, yeah, but maybe get, you know, double the time out of it because it's not subjected to the same amount of UV and the same amount of heat. But the expensive ones that we do will work because, one, we've tested them, and two, they have other things in them to help. Okay. So it's horses for courses. But gotcha. Yeah, you're right. As a general rule, the really hot, humid for things like desirable and show waxes or heavy beeswax, they'll not work quite as well there. You still get 4 weeks plus out of them, which is okay for a show wax. But Enigma and Fifth Element, you will get, you know, the 6 to 9 ones that we say.
Okay.
Because we tested it before we say these things.
Okay.
So you use that knowledge, and then you base that knowledge on the next one you do. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically, I mean, kind of like how you say you're just testing, how you test all your products is kind of that way. You're not just relying on, you know, what a lab would say or what a, you know, whatever. You're actually sending it out into the field and seeing what kind of feedback you get. Right. So let me ask you this. So, you know, still a wax, but a little bit different, because, you know, when I got into detailing in the car wash industry, it was all liquid wax. We never used paste wax. You know, so like, and that's, you know, like what, I guess that was probably mid to late 80s to 90s when liquid wax came out, you know? So how does that differ from a paste wax?
We've got one liquid wax, Corona, Enigma Corona, which is synthetic liquid, primarily because we had been requested them. Most, in my opinion, in my understanding, most of the liquid waxes tend to be water-based emulsions.
Okay.
As soon as you start emulsifying things, then they become more water susceptible, just by the very nature of the emulsifier, in my understanding. I am prepared to be directed to be wrong in that one, but anything that we've tried emulsifying, self-emulsifying stuff and using emulsifiers, because you can emulsify carnauba quite easily. It's not particularly difficult. But we've found that the emulsified material is much less durable than the paste-applied material, which is why we went down that route. Higher quality, better finish. And that's why we went there. Almost as much to do with that as anything else. So I would say chemically, the liquid ones aren't up to the same durability as paste ones, but they're much easier to use.
Yes.
And if you're a detailer, speed is everything.
Time is money.
Well, it is. You can get 3 cars out in a day or 2 cars out in a day.
Yeah.
You know, or 2 cars out in 2 days, whatever. Then it's extra money. But bottom line, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and the car wash, I mean, that was kind of bread and butter, because, you know, the car washes that I worked at, you know, especially on the weekends when it was busy, we would have, you know, 2-man teams just doing waxes all day. You know, I mean, I remember one day the most we ever did was 100 cars in one day, and, you know, in an eight hour period. But you know, I mean, like, that was old school. That was 16-pound orbitals, you know, so you're climbing up and down trucks and minivans and everything with those. But, you know, one guy would go and cut the car in, you know, all around the edges and everything, and then second guy would follow around with the orbital, and then we would split the car passenger side, driver's side and remove wax. And then, you're sending that one off, and, you know, we would work two-man teams that way, you know, and just it was like an assembly line. So it you're right. It is definitely way easier because, you know, once I started a detail shop and I met Brian Guy, you know, was with Swissvax at the time, and, you know, he got me on to trying it, and I was like, oh shit, this takes just as long as doing a ceramic coating, or a little, almost more. Yeah. Like, because you gotta let it, sit for a little while before you remove it, you know.
It's very therapeutic waxing, but it's a different thing.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: for Carnauba Wax, because I obviously have, you know, seen kind of the two different ways, you know, use an applicator pad, you know, to apply it, or, you know, the good old, you know, you get a little dollop on your hand and rub your hands together and give it a good old hand massage, you know, like, is there any way that's better than, is one better than the other, or does it really matter? Cause as long as you're putting wax on.
I don't think it matters, providing it's on its own.
Yeah.
It's really whatever the customer likes doing. I mean, you want to put it on the hand, by all means.
I mean, it looks cool. It looks cooler putting it on my hand.
Oh yeah, but it's, so long as it's there, then it doesn't matter.
Gotcha.
And the other way around as well, when you take it off, it really, a nice microfiber makes it easier.
Yeah.
But it's up to the point where the customer gets it, it's down to him, because they know more about the product than I do at that point. Because they're using it.
Yeah, I gotcha. So this one is, with the rise of ceramic coatings and synthetic sealants, where do traditional waxes fit in the market today? And, you know, I mean, obviously you guys still are making them. So, I mean, somebody must be buying them, you know, if nobody was buying them, you wouldn't be making them. So,
the thing with wax is anybody can wax, not anybody can ceramic coat. Waxing, as you know, is very therapeutic. It's a nice, relaxing thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially a nice wax that smells nice and all the rest of it. But from a technical point of view, yeah, ceramic coatings are great. They're a bit soulless sometimes, but they work well and they do precisely what they're supposed to do. But you can still wax and get a good effect. You can wax on top of the ceramic coating. You've got one that does that, developed specifically to do that. So if your car has been ceramic coated with, say, 5-year, whatever, 3-year, 5-year coating, you can still wax it at the weekend if you want. You know, and you put the wax on it and it makes it a bit less clinical. The look a bit less clinical. So,
okay.
Waxes, I think, will always have a place. Yeah. If you can't ceramic coat your vehicle, you can ceramic wax it. Well, it's not a bad option. And it's something that a lot of people still have. And older plastic cars maybe take waxes a bit better with the older paint. So there's always going to be a place for a good quality one. You know, there has to be. Yeah. There will be a place.
Yeah, kind of like Red Delight. Good quality. Yeah, Red Delight. A good quality wax. It's again, far superior than Little Wickies.
Yeah, I did laugh when I seen that label.
No, but I like that you said like you could still wax a ceramic coating and make it a little less clinical, because that's one of the questions, you know, when people ask me, like, you know, what do I prefer, wax or ceramic coating? And I mean, obviously, you know, my clients, you know, today's clients, they just want ceramic coatings, right? But to me, I always tell them, like, wax just has that warm glow, that natural, you know, ceramic coating is like Mike Tyson just punching you in the face with gloss. So if you could put a wax on top of a ceramic coating and kind of bring it down a little bit and get that warm glow, that would be, you know, that's a pretty neat thing, because it is.
And also at that point, you're wearing off the wax, which is much cheaper than a ceramic. Yeah. So you get a bit more longevity out of the coating.
Right.
You get a bit more protection for your investment.
Right. So what are some of the key differences in protection and longevity between waxes, sealants, or ceramic coatings?
Basically, obviously the ceramics will protect for longer. You know, your 3-year, 5-year coatings generally work for that point of view. Synthetic sealants, I'll be honest with you, I've not a great deal of experience with them. I would imagine that our higher-end waxes like the Fifth and Enigma would match them in durability and gloss, but I mean, I'm kind of guessing there. It's difficult because we tend not to look at other people's products. We tend to make ours as good as we can make them.
Right.
So I'm familiar with what's going on in certain areas, specifically ceramic coatings. But there are things that I'm not that familiar with. We look at it and say, how can we make this the best we can? And that's our aim. We're not looking to say, how can we make it better than X? Because we've never worked that way. It's always been, how can we make it as good as we can? What can we do? How can we get it? Because right. X is already there, so what's the point? You have to offer something different, better. And that's how we look at it. So I would hand in heart say that I'm not overly familiar with lots of other people's products. So I don't like making comment.
Yeah.
But I would say that our waxes, specifically to us, but any well-formulated base wax should be able to stand up to anything bar, you know, a 3 or a 5 year coating.
Okay.
Reasonably comfortably.
And then we kind of get to now, right? So, I mean, we've done the paste wax, we've done the synthetic, you know, mm-hmm. liquid waxes, we've done the ceramic coatings, and kind of with ceramic coatings became the sealant sprays, you know, the SiO2 infused sealant sprays. So how do those kind of, you know, compare in the mix? I mean, obviously they probably lean more.
They all lean towards the coating side of it, but I mean,
right.
That's one there I'm playing about with. And that's a 1 year, 18 month spray sealant, right? Which mm-hmm. is okay. It's a bit, you know, I'd much rather be waxing than spraying, but it's a customer driven thing.
Yeah.
You know, from our point of view, somebody comes to us and say, can you do or can we have? We'll say, yeah, we probably can. Right? We'll make it. So we kind of look at it slightly differently. But, yeah, I mean, the spray ones have a place, the same way as the waxes do. But it's all customer-driven, isn't it? I mean, you'll have customers that will want X, but other ones will want Y. So you bend to what they want. And us as a supplier would like to be in a position to say, yeah, well, if you need anything, just come and see us. Because we'll get the experience to do it. So, yeah. I still think waxes are, you know, not pinnacle as such, but they are absolutely have a place. The same way as detailers and spray sealants and stuff have a place. Yeah. And yeah, somewhere on the line, you've got the 3 and 5 ceramics that are, and the graphene ceramics and everything else. Graphene wax will be interesting doing one of them as well, but that's, you know, where I would see it. Everything's got a place. It's just a question of finding necessarily where it goes.
Right.
Autofiber is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Autofiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com. And use the code DSP for 10% off your order.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And honestly, I mean, for me, I feel like the spray sealants have, you know, they're easier. Spray it on, wipe it off, right? Yeah. So again, going back to, you know, the transition from paste wax to liquid wax because of a time, you know, mm-hmm. be more efficient, be able to do more cars. I feel like with the spray sealants is you know, kind of that same thing. You know, you could spray it on, you could wipe it off. I mean, you know, the wet application ones are great because after you rinse the car off, you spray it on and then you rinse it off and then you dry it. And now you got, you know, a clean protected car and everything. So, you know, I like them for that because again, you know, and again, down here, you know, with a traditional wax isn't going to last a client, you know, 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. You know, I'd rather say, hey, look, we'll do a spray sealant. You know, you're going to get all the same properties, right? You're going to get the gloss, the slickness, you know, all that fun stuff. But it's going to last a little bit longer because there's no wax to melt.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it'll last a bit longer, but then spray sealants, detailers and steroids effectively, you know, they're just I see it as a kind of stronger detailer. But yeah, right. You're right. We do spray rinse ceramics as well. And yeah, they have, everything's got a place.
Yeah.
We're all customer driven. And if we took our waxes off the market, for example, I think people would still, we'd be going, well, what am I going to use instead? You know, we like using waxes.
Right.
And Europe, the market's slightly different from America.
So for anybody who's listening that maybe doesn't understand, explain why PTFEs are right. Yeah, PTFEs, PTE, whatever.
This fluorine paste has been rejected. There's a, over in Europe, there's a thing called ECHA, which is the bane of any formulator's life over here. And they're a European organization that basically say things are hazardous or things aren't. And it's sometimes arbitrary, sometimes not. We had panel prep that 1 week was perfectly legitimate and perfectly legal. Next week, sorry, that's solved and you can't use it anymore. It's dangerous. But it wasn't dangerous last week, but it is now. So you've got to reformulate.
Yeah.
Fluorine has been deemed as being dangerous. Dangerous to you, dangerous to environment, dangerous to everything. And consequently, it's not been withdrawn, but you're not allowed to use it in certain products. And certainly car care is one of them.
Okay.
So we've had inquiries from people wanting ski wax. Ski wax used to be essentially PTFE blend. And you can't do it anymore. So it's, people are wanting different things now. And that's how it is. And I would have thought it should be heading stateward imminently. I would have thought this ban as well.
Gotcha.
So
is there a way to kind of synthetically make it to where, no, it's just that.
Oh, you're basically using, you're probably going to land up replacing it with a liquid ceramic that will have the slickness and the durability and the adhesion. You've got your the main one that we know is it's the skiing. So you've got your deer to your ski, plus skis work by, you know, the reducing the friction between the ski and the snow.
Right.
So there's all sorts of different things, but I can't see, PTFE was fluorinated products, which is brilliant from the point of view of instant slip. Slip's brilliant. Now, not allowed to use. And, well, fortunately, we never actually used any anyhow, so I didn't have to re-engineer. But it's not allowed in Europe, and I'm pretty certain. I don't know about the States either. And it's just a regulatory thing. Somebody's deemed it dangerous, and that's it. There's no recourse. You can't complain. You can't appeal. You can't do anything. All the big chemical companies have just got to take it a chance. And that's it.
Okay. So consumer perception, have you noticed a shift in consumer preferences over the years regarding wax types and what drives those changes?
That's a good one. I think there's a definite, the consumer wants ease of operation, but equally, speaking for Europe and here, the guys that buy our waxes all the time do it because they actually physically enjoy waxing the car.
Right.
So it's as much, and this is in a, you know, a retail kind of setting as opposed to professionals, most professionals we deal with want a ceramic coat because for obvious reasons. But in the retail thing, most of the people that we deal with enjoy waxing their car. It's what they do at the weekend. It's what they enjoy doing. So from that, the perception point of view, retail-wise, nothing's really moved. Everybody's still doing what they were doing. Professionally, yeah, we used to sell a lot of waxes to the pros who would do. Now it's mainly ceramics with some guys that will cover waxes that are doing classics and things like that. Because old single-stage paint tends to take a wax better than some ceramics. You know, it's a bit more, it needs that kind of warmth with some of the old celly paints. But that's kind of how we see it. There's almost a Joe market going on. The Joe public would like to potentially do a bit of ceramic coating, but equally they love the feel of the wax, the smell, the tradition, how it is. So we are there to supply that kind of thing. And of course, you can do all funny things. You can do special editions and limited one-offs for people, you know.
Kind of like
one smell of donuts, aye. I'll set it up. You just put it on.
There's only a few left. If you want to hit me up.
So I think it's not like, you know, nobody's ever going to buy a wax again. I don't think that's the case. I think there will always be people that prefer to do it. And fine, you know, there's a market for everything, and there's plenty of people out there. So I perceive technically should be able to make. We'll be making better waxes, more durable ones that are glossier, higher solids. You know, that's what we're aiming to do.
As long as Chevrolet keeps making Corvettes, you guys can sell wax. Because as long as there's a Corvette guy out there, he's gonna wax that thing on Sunday with his jorts and his New Balances.
One thing I could say is if anybody that's listening or watching this goes to SEMA, I'll be making waxes there, so you can actually come and see me doing it and take away a sample.
Yeah, I got one MTE a year or two ago. It's sitting on this little shelf over here that you can't really see. It's actually, you actually signed it for me too, which is cool. Yeah, I got one of those. You kind of already answered this one, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyways, because there is a part of the question that that maybe might change. So do you think traditional waxes will have a place in professional detailing, or is the market moving towards newer alternatives? So I know you said there's a place for everything, and obviously with ceramic coatings coming out and PPF and everything, there is that shift to the newer alternatives, but you know, what are your feelings about, you know, wax still having a place in shops?
Well, I think it's something that most shops would have, not necessarily have to offer, but have available if they have a customer that comes in and says, and I want my car waxed. And they're out there, you know that yourself. At the moment, I mean, you can wax in PPF if you want. You can wax in ceramics. So I would think that most shops somewhere would have a tub of wax for the customer that wants his car waxed, and some will. Because you know yourself, there is a different look.
Yeah.
There is a warmth about it. And that warmth suits some colours better than others. You know, it suits reds and blues and greens quite nicely. But blacks and whites look for a bit more sharpness, so they maybe take better to ceramics. But then the other side to that is you've got all the options of colour charging your waxes, speaking of black cars, because we do a black wax that enhances the colour. So you can do that kind of thing as well. There's all sorts of waxes are very versatile. They're much more versatile potentially than coatings are. Coatings tend to coat, and that's about it. You can colour charge waxes. You can put daft things in, like, say, citronella, to stop, you know, bugs and all the rest of landing in the car when you're actually doing the job.
Yeah.
You know, you know, all sorts of stuff that you can't necessarily do with a cone. Just interesting things.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
I appreciate you can make a candle out of them.
Yeah. 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 So what factors determine the effectiveness of a wax in protecting and enhancing a vehicle's finish?
Basically, what you're looking at is you're looking to get the wax to cross-link really, really tightly. I do a demo with coins, but I can't really do it here because it'll not work. But what you want to do is you want to get them to cross-link. Most waxes don't really so much fail due to air pressure and air running over it. They tend to fail because the cross-link density, is what it's called, isn't really that high, and water can penetrate from top to bottom. And once it gets through the wax, it just delaminates for the bottom. Hits the bottom, is how wax comes off. Now ceramic wax, any gaps that are in the wax itself, once it's cross-linked, tend to be filled with non-ceramic, which means the water has much more trouble getting through the wax because the spaces aren't there. So that's one way they work. And also the titanium wax that we have has basically a linear molecule like that, and it fits through the gaps, again, enhancing the cross-linking. So it's really, you really, really have to try and get the wax to cross-link so there's no any pores, no any gaps. And this isn't a molecular level. But, you know, a water molecule is quite big in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
So you really got to stop from penetrating, and that's what we do. So, you know, you can do that. And, okay. And that's the difference.
What does layering wax really do anything? I mean, if you put the old days, the old liquid glass, you put a layer on, let it sit out in the sun and bake, and put another layer on, keep it going. You know,
if you bang on two or three layers of wax, you're not going to get two or three times the durability, but it'll be more durable because there's more there. Whether you actually get any benefit visually is another thing altogether. Gotcha. But there's more there. So consequently, when you're looking at a wearing exercise, then your wear layer is bigger, thicker. So it's going to take longer, per se, okay, to actually wear out. You know, if you layer up in the front edge of a bonnet, for example, or the back of the car where the wind comes over and flows off the boot or the trunk, to use a proper parlance. If you've got a thicker edge there, then it'll wear comparatively slower than it would be if it was a single edge, if you kind of know what I mean. So, yeah, layering will have its place if you want to layer. I mean, you use more product, I'm a happier man.
that's how I feel when people are like, can I layer Aquatech? I mean, you don't need to, but if you want to, like, yeah, product, I'm happy with it. Do you make a wax that performs better if it's layered, or is all your stuff kind of just
it's all developed to be single layer?
Okay.
But I mean, in theory, yes, you could make one that's a base layer, then put one over the top if you wanted to. You know, but in practice you would just combine the two and actually just have the one. I mean, but you could do it. Easy enough to do. Not particularly difficult. You could also use one of our older style sealants, like the TI-22. It's a really good base for a wax if you wanted to go down that route. But, you know, for that, you get Fifth Element, which is get the titanium through it anyhow.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's doable. If somebody wanted it, we could do it tomorrow.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah. Listen, well, Pacewax is a pain in the ass to begin with to put on. I don't want to be doing multiple coats.
And having to get it correct, so it bonds and everything else. So, but it's doable. Somebody asked.
I gotcha. What innovations do you foresee in the future for wax?
I would see the additive side of it coming in. We've been playing about for a while with the graphene just to get it right. I think we'll be launching that imminently. Not at SEMA, though, but after that.
Okay.
There will be other reactive polymers that are going to come out that will enhance the waxes. So again, it's back to cross-linking. Now, if you put a reactive polymer in there, then that reactive polymer is going to cross-link through the wax, so you're going to get a harder coating. And so these things are where I think the innovation is going to come from. So it'll be on the additive side, not necessarily a new wax is going to suddenly come in the market. It'll be what you can do to the wax that you have. Okay. And so we've ran from putting ceramics through it to graphene and things like that. There will be a point, and I've been playing about with reactive systems, that will actually cure, not like a ceramic, but not far off it. They will actually cure through the wax. So I think that's where it's going to go. Now, that'll be an interesting exercise entirely. Because you could land up with waxes that maybe are going to be durable in the 2 year front. So there's things there. But there's a bit of work to be done in that.
I think that kind of answers my next two questions. I'll ask them anyways, just in case. So the one is, are there any upcoming trends in the chemistry of wax that detailers should be aware of? And
I think that the possibility of them being curable, curing systems in them are coming up. I mean, I've played about with it from detailer point of view. One thing I would like is, people to say, yeah, can you do, is this possible? Because you can only think of so many things. Other people, there'll be a detail or someone going, no, do this.
Yeah.
What he's going to do at that point is tell me.
Right.
And that's the difference. So, yeah, I mean, there are innovations there. There are things there. Hybrid ones, hybrid systems. But in reality, yeah, I could go out tomorrow and make a dozen new waxes, all different from each other. But again, what's the point if nobody's actually needing them?
Right.
It doesn't offer something that you haven't already got. So it's we're customer driven, unless something spectacular turns up.
Okay.
And that's how we operate,
Okay. And then my other question was going to be, do you ever think that wax will catch up to ceramic? And I mean, you kind of did say that getting maybe 2 years out of a wax, in the future. So, I mean, I guess that is kind of, catching up to.
It's possible. It comes down to what the reactive polymers that are out there will do and how they'll bond. Ceramics bond entirely to top coat. They don't sit. Most waxes just sit on top of the paintwork.
Yeah.
And held there by air pressure effectively. There will be, as I say, the fifth element kind of bonds a wee bit. There are polymers out there that are coming that maybe help, and there's a possibility that they'll bond to the vehicle the same way as the ceramic does. So that's a conversation that I need to have with suppliers and see what's available. But that would be how I see it moving. And back to what you said about the environmental side of it, face wax is pretty friendly.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it would go. There'll be somebody somewhere will have an additive that will enable it to bond and cross-link and do different things. And that's where I think it will go.
And so with all of that, is that why maybe ceramic might still be superior? Because ceramic can actually bond to the paint where the wax just
You're never, ever, I don't think, going to get a five-year wax, right? I really don't think at the moment that's feasible.
Yeah.
Not most of which, because in our product, 75% of what's going on in the car stays in the car. The wax isn't anywhere near 75%. So you get a physical amount that you're putting on, but the ceramic bonds to the vehicle. It doesn't sit on top. It doesn't bond slightly. It bonds to it. Get it wrong, you're sanding it off. So it's different things. And you don't know what's 2 years down the line. And the product that I'm developing just now, with materials that are out just now, will maybe be 6 to 8 months down the line before they come out, because they have to be right. But you just don't know what's coming.
No, I gotcha. Dang it. I just looked at that text from Rick and now I forgot what I was going to ask you. they're going back and forth in our chat group for the AA meeting at SEMA. And I just having to look at it just to see what Rick said. Now I lost my train of thought. Mike made a flyer, so everybody seems to love it. I asked for like one little change, and so I was looking to see what Rick was saying about it. I'm gonna have to edit this part out. I had a good one too, guys. I really had a good one. So we've kind of come to the conclusion that Wax is a different beast. It's got its place. It can do great things. It might not be as mighty as ceramic. Might not ever be as mighty as ceramic. Is there something in the Wax line that, you know, again, you said you're customer-driven, so a lot of times people ask you for things or whatever. Is there something that you've ever thought of, or maybe a client or customer came to you and said, hey, we want this, that you just couldn't do? Like, it just didn't work for
eventually we manage most things. Not too many, but some of them aren't instant. Some of them might take, you know, months to come up with. But most things we've managed, I can't think there's too many things. Rick will no doubt to tell you there is. But I can't think of too many things that customers asked if we haven't been able to do.
Okay.
You know, some of the stuff we haven't been able to do because, you know, somebody wants a tub or something and I've got to buy, you know, $5,000 worth of raw materials to do a tub, which doesn't help. So
right, yeah.
There are things like that, you know, that crop up. But I mean, most things we can come up with.
Yeah. And then what about like some of these, you know, I don't know if you guys, I don't know what your price point is on wax for you guys. I mean, and to be fair, I don't know what price point on any wax is really, unless it's red light and it's $50, $10 for shipping, you know, that's right there. That's, but like, you know, sometimes, you know, especially like when I left the car wash night and I first got into detailing, you know, and I was in these groups and what is it? I think Fuso or whatever in Japan, like $4,000 for a 10 of what, I mean, like, is that just a flex to do that? Or is it like a really awesome, well, God almighty wax, you know?
So I can always speak for my own. Because okay. They're the only ones I know the raw material price for.
Yeah.
So our Enigma wax is expensive, but the ceramic is legitimately expensive. So they tend to be priced exclusively on, you know, what's in them. We don't throw pricing at people just because it sounds good. You know, as you say, it's $2,000 a tub, therefore it must be good. If we charged anything like that, there'd be a really good reason for it. So Enigma is more expensive, but that's got the ceramic in it. The ceramic's expensive.
Right.
Their pricing is as simple as that. I don't like making comment on others because I don't know what's in them.
No, and I understand. I understand. I mean, I was just using them as an example because, again, like when I first got into it.
That makes perfect sense. But I don't really know the answer to that because I don't know what's in it. I don't think. Certainly some of the waxes that are out there that are priced, but they're priced as a lifestyle type brand as opposed to potentially one that works, you know, like ours do. Ours are expensive because of what's in them, and what's in them is expensive.
Yeah, and that's how Brian explained to me some of the Swiss Vac stuff when he was first talking is, you know, and to me I feel like it's really the same with anything, a coating, you know, a dressing or whatever. I mean, it's the raw materials. I mean, if you're buying, you know, I mean, I always think of it as like, and I don't drink, but you know, at an AA meeting, you know, you go to the bar, right? I mean, obviously they have the plastic jug, you know, garbage stuff on the bottom shelf and it's, you know, $2 a drink or Yeah, or the good stuff that's, you know, four shelves up, they call it top shelf, and it's, yeah, you know, $20 a drink or whatever. So, I mean, obviously the raw goods, the raw materials or whatever, if it's a better quality, it's obviously going to cost more, and therefore then the product, whether it's a wax or a ceramic coating or an interior or tire dressing or whatever, is going to cost more than the stuff that, I mean, you know, is
I tend to develop without consideration to price. It's all quality.
Gotcha.
We run as good as we can, much to Rick's annoyance at times. But we, that's how we do it. We tend not to run that way. We run to the best we can.
Right.
And sometimes when you're trying to do the best, you're using the best raw materials, then things are expensive.
Okay.
It's just kind of hurts.
Have you ever turned anybody away because they were just like, look, man, just make me a cheap wax, something I can sell for, you know, $20 a pop, $15 a pop or something like that? Have you ever turned anybody away for that, or because you're not putting your name on it, you don't give a shit?
I think one or two that maybe should have done that too. No, not really. Somebody says I want 200 grams for $10, then I might be thinking, nah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Practical. No, not really. Nobody's come and asked that question, to be fair.
Okay.
So it's not something we did. Obviously, we help our friends out when we can.
Yeah.
But that's a different thing. You know, that was the overly commercial for the other side. So, but no, I've not really had that kind of question. Nobody's really come and says, can you do it?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of know better.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
let me ask you last question, closeout question or whatever. Which do you prefer, wax or ceramic?
Oh, wax. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fifth Element.
Yeah.
That's my preference.
Okay.
It's because you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an enjoyable experience. It's something to do. Yeah, you can ceramic coat, and that's fine. Obviously, we can. But I like getting a tub of wax.
Okay.
Opening it, having the smell there, and the feel of it.
I'll tell you what. You talk about smells. Let me tell you about Red Delight.
That is such
a sweet smell. Unlike that little Wiki's garbage. Nah, actually, Little Wiki's. That's the one thing I will say about Little Wiki's is it does smell pretty good too. So
the jam donut smell was difficult to do.
All right, John. Well, listen, I know you're a busy guy. The kid's sending me text messages asking me to come pick her up from school. So I don't have any other wax questions for you right now, Walt. I hope this helped you out. Everybody else, I hope this helped you out with any questions and waxes. You know, thank you again for doing this and kind of short notice too. This was a lot of fun to learn about something not a lot of people are. You know, not a lot of people are doing waxes, it seems like, anymore. You know, unless they've got like those, you know, clients with the classic muscle cars or maybe single stage paint cars that, you know, you typically don't want a ceramic coat or whatever. So it's interesting to kind of learn a little bit more about, you know, what goes into the makeup and the chemistry and whatnot on these waxes. And, you know, and again, it's, I mean, even though I've been doing this now 9 years since I left the car wash, but, you know, it's still kind of, you know, new to me because I don't do paste waxes. You know, I don't have clients looking for that. So for me, it's either spray sealants, you know, and then all of my other knowledge is the liquid stuff that we use, you know, at the car wash. So, you know, the fact that I have used paste wax a couple of times, it literally was a couple of times. So I don't know a lot about it. So it was very interesting to learn. So I appreciate you coming on and doing that.
Appreciate it. It's good fun. Enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. And then again, you're going to be at SEMA, you're going to be making wax. So if anybody is listening to this is going to be at SEMA and they're interested in how the wax is actually made, I'll get together with you and find out, like, kind of like what we did last year, you know, and find out when you're actually going to be making some, so I can come over and maybe, you know, do a video to put up and whatnot.
We have a program of work or a program of what we're going to be doing. Okay. So yeah, that will come out at some point in time, imminently, in the next couple of days.
Okay.
So scheduled the 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Once we get to SEMA, I'll figure out, I'll find you. I mean, I know we'll be walking around looking for you guys anyways. I mean, obviously we're going to be hanging out Tuesday night too, but Tuesday morning, I'll get with you and figure out when you're doing the wax and put it in a timer so I can make sure wherever I'm at, I leave and come back to watch you do it. And yes, sir. So, hey, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, in a couple of weeks, Alex. Thank you very much.
You have a safe trip over. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. I look forward to hanging out with you at the AA meeting, and we're all going to be sponsors for everybody.
It will be good for a laugh. I'm quite looking forward to it.
Oh, dude, I'm so looking forward to it. I mean, I always have a great time with you guys and you know, Mike and Jason. It's you know, I think are in for a fun time and whatnot. And it's just going to lead to, you know, I think us doing more things. We're booth mates at we're booth neighbors at MTE because we got in late with you, like you guys did. So we're like right next to you guys out in the middle of nowhere. So, and I was telling Tommy, there's actually a space in between us that they said that we could use. So I told Tommy, maybe what we should do is carry the AA meeting from SEMA to Mobile Tech, and we can have a little AA lounge or something in between our booths where people can just come and chill out and hang and stuff like that. So that'll be a good time. So, all right, sir, you enjoy the rest of your, it's evening time there.
I am right? Evening, yes. Late?
Yeah, probably time to go home and get some dinner and whatnot. So,
yes,
have a good time. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. I'll see you later.
Bye, John.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.